I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Anikas?
Here.
Ms. Reinshel?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock? Mr. Yensel?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mr. President, we have a student who is going to lead us this evening. Mr. Drew Reeves, who's in the eighth grade, will lead us in the pledge tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Reeves. Now we'll move to Section B, Public Communication. Do we have anybody signed up?
We do not.
So now we'll move to Section C, Student Recognition.
And Mr. President, the first person that I would like to recognize this month is Mr. Cole Davis. So if Cole could come up and stand up by the podium here, I would greatly appreciate it. Cole is our senior London Rotary Club Student of the Month from Madison Plains for the month of February 2023. We are very proud of Cole and would like to, I would like to read a little bit about him to celebrate him and the impressive record of accomplishment he has established during his going on 4 years here. The London Rotary Club is pleased to honor senior student Cole Davis as a Student of the Month from Madison Plains High School for the month of February. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Cole has a 4.008 grade point average and he is currently ranked ninth in his class. His favorite course is anatomy. Cole has played baseball throughout all 4 years of high school. He has also participated in powerlifting for 2 years and basketball for 1 year. Cole has been in the National Honor Society for 3 years. Cole was asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires him, and he chose MPHS teacher Miss Molly Neese. Cole said, "Miss Neese inspires me because she always wants the best for her students and she is always willing to help. She is super sweet and always puts a smile on my face." Regarding Cole, Ms. Neese stated, "I first met Cole during the early beginnings of the pandemic. He was a sophomore taking virtual biology, and I never saw more than a black screen staring back at me as I taught through Google Meet. Despite this hurdle, Cole excelled in the class and turned in some very thought-provoking work. I remember emailing him suggesting he consider a career in science because his work and dedication to the class truly astounded me. 2 years have passed since then, and I still feel the same way as he sits in anatomy. At the beginning of this year, he told me he planned to go into medicine. Though I think Cole would shine in any profession, it excites me to know the medical field will be getting such an inquisitive, kind, and inspiring person to join their ranks. He is truly deserving of being selected as the Rotary Student of the Month, and I cannot wait to see his further accolades as he leaves MPHS and takes on the world. After graduation, Cole plans to attend Wilmington College to become an occupational therapist. Cole is the son of Heather and Glenn Davis." Congratulations, Cole, on the outstanding record of achievement you have accomplished here during your time at Madison Plains High School. We are proud of you. Well done. Keep up the great work, and we wish you all the best in your future endeavors.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. The next person that I would like to, or we would like to honor, is, forgive me, Patrick Madden. So Patrick, if you would come up, we would like to honor you. And Patrick is being honored because of his performance in the Madison Plains Spelling Bee and in the County Spelling Bee. He's also here because he is a basketball player, so he is receiving recognition tonight in two different fronts. So well done, Patrick. This year's District Spelling Bee was held on December 15th. 17 students in grades 5 through 8 competed. After 13 rounds and a spell off with sixth grader Paige Baker in the final 3 rounds, Patrick Madden was declared the winner. Congratulations. Well done. Patrick and our other students then competed in the Madison County Spelling Bee on January 10th. There were a total of 42 competitors from all four public school districts. Heading into the fourth round, there were only 12 contestants remaining. Madison Plains was well represented in the top 12 as five of our students were still standing, including Patrick and Paige, sixth grader Adeline Hartfield, and seventh graders Josh Fries and Ava Mace. Patrick finished the highest among all Madison Plains spellers, coming in fourth place overall in the county. Patrick also finished the highest of our students in the grade level competitions by coming in second place among all eighth graders in the oral B and second place among all eighth graders in the written test. Coincidentally, Patrick finished fourth place overall in the Madison County B last year also. The spelling bee isn't over for Patrick yet, as he has an opportunity to advance to the regional bee at Ohio University. He is currently preparing to take an online qualifying test in the next week. Patrick and other junior high students were coached by Ms. Jenny Weddington. Ms. Cheryl Ferguson coached our sixth grade students, and Mrs. Sandy Mosier coached our fifth grade students. And so I'd like to say thank you to Ms. Weddington, Ms. Ferguson, and Mrs. Mosier. And I would like to say congratulations to all of our students who competed in the Spelling Bee, and a special congratulations to Patrick for his outstanding performance. Well done, Patrick. Way to go. The next group of people that I would like to recognize are our 8th grade boys basketball team. So, gentlemen, if you could stand up, I would greatly appreciate it. And if your coach would stand up as well, we would appreciate that too. The 8th grade, and Coach Fisher, if you would like to say anything when I'm done, you're welcome to. I know I didn't ask you in advance to do that, but if you have any comments you'd like to make, that you're welcome to do so. But the 8th grade boys basketball team won the Ohio Heritage Conference South Division title. The boys finished the season with the number 2 seed going into the tournament. They received a first round bye and defeated number 3 Cedarville and then number 1 Greenview to win the championship. The 8th grade boys are coached by Coach Jessica Fisher, and the members of the team are Gavin Rhodes, Brandon Scheiderer, Nolan Daniels, Logan Gum, Lloyd, Chevy Jewell, Patrick Madden, Josiah Emmerich, Tyler Wall, and Drew Reeves. And I believe, if I saw the games correctly, it appeared that 7th grade coach Adrian Jackson may have been giving a little bit of coaching support there, perhaps, on the sidelines, so congratulations to him as well. But Coach Fisher was our 8th grade head coach, and so congratulations to all of you and Coach Fisher and Coach Jackson. Coach Fisher, anything you want to say, or have I said what you need to say?
I just wanted to thank you guys for inviting us and recognizing these young men, not only on the basketball court, but they're amazing young men, students, and leaders in our community, and appreciate you having us here.
Absolutely. Very good. Congratulations, men and coaches. Well done. Very proud of you. Keep up the great work. And then finally, the last group that I would recognize, I believe we have with us this evening the 6th grade Miami Valley Championship team. So if those ladies could maybe come down, because I think you're probably tucked in the back of the room, if you want to come down front for a minute, we would appreciate that. So this group of young ladies won the 6th grade Miami Valley Gold Division Championship this past Sunday. So well done. That means the future of Madison Plains girls basketball is looking very bright. We are very proud of you and want to celebrate your accomplishment. And I believe there might be sitting here on the dais somebody that you're quite familiar with. Coach Mason, anything that you would like to say about your team?
So take a school board member hat off and put on coach and dad hat, and just tell you girls, I'm very proud of it. It was a fun season. These girls are special. The last 3 years, they're 35-1 over that time frame with three championships. Coach Ashley Straub helped me a lot. These girls worked really hard, so appreciate it. Just, I could give more information than you need, but I just like to point some stuff out. We beat Jonathan Alder by 17 points in the semifinals, and they were undefeated. Then we beat an undefeated North Union team in the championship game. So it's just a lot of fun, a lot of good things that these girls did this season. Coach Ashley, would you like to introduce the players for us?
Sure. We have sixth graders Lila Henry, Kinsley Boland, Kendall Mason, Addison Mead, and Leah Straub. And then we have fifth graders on our team because we're combined age group of Elena Walker and Izzy Mead this year.
Very nice.
Well, congratulations, ladies. Very pleased and very proud of your accomplishment. Again, as I said earlier, it speaks to the hope for future success for our girls' basketball program. So well done on this year's championship. We hope to have many more on down the road from you. Congratulations. Well done. Mr. President, I do not have anybody for employee recognition this evening, I regret to say. So at this time, if all of our students and their parents who are here for the student recognition portion of the meeting, if you would like to leave at this point, you are welcome to do so.
Nobody stays.
Section E, board work session. So I can start here. I've had the privilege of being on the Toles Career and Technical School board for 5 years now, and I've really enjoyed it. I was initially on for 3 years, and I've done a couple additional years, so it's been a very good experience. I was hoping to make it to graduation this year. That's what I discussed with their superintendent. But just my schedule, I would have to miss the next three meetings, and I just didn't think it was fair to them. So I'm going to go ahead and step down now and like to open it up to you guys to see if anyone has interest. The preferences for it to be at Toles or to be a member of the Madison Plains board doesn't have to be. So if you guys aren't interested, we could then turn to the public, see if anybody's interested there. But is anybody interested in being appointed to the Toles board?
I will be interested in doing that.
Anyone else? Do you need a nomination, or what's the process?
I believe, and Mr. Mustine can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that there is only one. I think we're probably good. What we will do later on in the meeting, down in the business portion of the meeting, we have a placeholder for this exact purpose. And what we can do is we can write Mrs. Zanika's name in the spot in the recommended action. And then the only other question that I have is, do we intend for the position to be filled immediately or March 1st? I wasn't sure, Mr. Mason, if you planned to go to the February Toles meeting.
No, it was last week.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, just as long, I mean, my preference is that we have representation there for the March 16th meeting. I think my resignation can be effective today, right now, make it effective right now, and we'll appoint her.
Okay. If that's what you would like to do. So we will say, when we get to that portion of the meeting, we will say that Mrs. Zanikas will be the person who has been nominated. Forgive me as I write that down. And then we will say that the appointment begins February 22nd, 2023, as that is tomorrow. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Mr. President, I don't know if anyone else has anything for board work session, but I don't have anything.
All right. So now we'll move to Section F, Approval of Board Minutes.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation, make the motion that the minutes of the January 10, 2023 organizational and regular meetings be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Yetzel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Now move to Section G, Department Reports.
Mr. President, at this time, I would like to ask our K-6 building level administrators, Mr. Miller and Mrs. Adamczak, to come forward. They are going to provide a presentation on the board books, or excuse me, on the K-6 building. Forgive me.
Good evening.
Mr. Miller, I just would like to say thank you to you and Mrs. Adamczak for being here this evening with us to provide our report on the K-6 building. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate that. First off, before I begin, I'd like to welcome Mr. Stephen Lemieux. He's a former student of ours here at Madison Plains, a graduate of 2013. He is a third grade teacher over Canal Winchester. Some of you may remember Mr. Max Lawlathan. He was assistant here with underneath me, and he's a teacher underneath Max now. So he is coming here, he came here today to shadow me. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not. We had a lot of good discussions today on what he's gonna be doing and what he needs to do for his admin certificate. So he'll be graduating in May with his administration license and hopefully be looking for a position in administration here very soon. So welcome to you. So myself and Mrs. Adamczak, we have a few things that we'd like to share out about our K-6 building tonight. I'm gonna start out talking about a few things and she's gonna kind of finish it for us. First off, I'd like to give a huge shout out to our PTO. They've really done some great things this year for our students and staff. Just to name a few things, during Halloween, we had several parents volunteer to be in the gym and have the kids kind of trick-or-treat through the gymnasium, passing out candy to all of our kids, and that was arranged through the PTO, which is a great thing for all the kids in the K-6 building. So the kids walked away with boatloads of candy on that fall festival day that we had. Also, we did a movie for the kids before our holiday break. The kids were in the gym, provided by the PTO, in the Mount Sterling Community Center. They provided a big movie screen for us to watch the movie on the big screen. They also, the PTO provided popcorn for the kids. Afterwards, after watching the movie, the students were able to, we called it dashing through the halls. They were able to come through the district meeting room and receive candy and some goodies before they left for the day. So it was another great thing that they did. they're also in the process of, which we've already scheduled, a K-3 dance for our students. It's called the KISS dance, which some of you might be familiar with, which stands for Kids Invite Someone Special. So the kindergarten through third graders get to have a little dance and bring someone special with them to enjoy that evening. And that's gonna be Saturday, March 11th. We're also gonna be going to a spring dance for our fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. That'll be on Friday, April 14th. So they've done quite a few great things for us this year, and it's continuing on. They also periodically throughout this year, every month, they provide the staff with some goodies. So they kind of go through the halls with their goodies cart, and teachers come out in the hallway and get, whether it be a water or a cookie or some kind of snack. Teachers love it. So again, shout out to the PTO and thank you. Some things that we're doing right now in the K-6, we're doing the iReady Challenge. We have a platform called iReady, which works on the skills of our kids, for our students in math and reading. It's on their own level. They pace themselves throughout the math and reading iReady. It's kind of become a little bit bland for the kids. So we've decided to spice it up a little bit here. This past month, we challenged them. Last year we challenged them and we said that each homeroom needed to pass 100 lessons for math and 100 lessons for reading. And if they did that for each homeroom, they would get a treat of some kind from the staff, from the administration. This year, we decided, as we talked as an administrative team, we decided to, that didn't really challenge the individual students. So we felt we needed to challenge each individual student within that classroom. So what we did this year for the challenge of the month of February is each student was to pass 3 lessons in reading and 3 lessons in math within a 4-week period at a 75% passage rate. If they met that goal, which we're coming to an end this week, next week, those students will be recognized and getting a treat. We will also recognize those students who passed the most lessons within that homeroom. They will get an extra special treat above and beyond the treat that we're going to be providing. They'll also be introduced in a pep rally kind of thing that we're going to, celebration that we're going to have for the students. Those 31 kids, 31 homerooms will be recognized. We also are looking to have another challenge in the month of March. We haven't really decided exactly what we're going to do. It's going to be something similar to what we're doing, but we're going to up the ante a little bit more, so to challenge them. So that's where we're at on iReady. I want to continue talking about some things that we're also doing with the staff on our TBTs and our roundtable and our BLT. Teachers are diligently working on their TBTs. We're talking about students. We're talking about data. And within the TBTs, then that information is brought to our roundtable. What I call a roundtable is where myself, Mrs. Adamczak, and the instructional coaches, we come together once a month with each grade level team, and we talk about students. We talk about what students are falling behind. We create a watch list. We talk about what interventions can we do to help those kids fill in those gaps they might be missing. So that's once a month where we can sit down, we can talk about their TBTs, we can talk about what they're filling out, we can talk about how they're progress monitoring those kids and how they're showing the growth they need to show. So that's in roundtable. The roundtable meetings that we have then lead into our BLT, which we've kind of changed a little bit this year, to where we're changing, we're not only just talking about academics, we're also talking about the social emotional need of the student. So we're bringing in the academics and those students who are on the watch list, but we're also looking for those kids who are struggling emotionally, and we can look at the whole child rather than just the academics. We're looking at the social emotional needs as well. So that's essentially all I have on my end on the presentation. I'm going to pass it off to Mrs. Adamczak, and she's going to talk about a few other things.
Good evening. So the first thing I want to speak about is our Student of the Month program run by our school counselor, Mrs. McCutcheon. So she's a supervisor. She goes into each classroom once a month and teaches the 7 Mindsets program to the K-6 students at the beginning of each month. And these mindsets target and intentionally develop 10 social and emotional learning competencies. Each month focuses on a theme, which include everything is possible, passion first, we are connected, 100% accountable, attitude of gratitude, live to give, and the time is now. After teaching in the classroom at the beginning of the month, the teachers then look to see who has applied these mindsets of the month, that mindset of the month, to their actions here at the school building, and then they nominate them as their student of the month. At the end of the month, which is actually this week on Thursday, we will be in here, pizza with the principal, in the district meeting room. PTO provides the pizza and drinks, and a movie is shown for the students during their lunchtime to celebrate them. These students also get their picture taken, and these pictures are displayed on the hallway wall of the school office each month. Next is our PBIS program. Both Karen Wells and Amanda Hampton work with Madison Prevention. They're prevention specialists. They came in and helped to institute the PACS behavior program. PACS is Latin for peace. This is an evidence-based universal preventative intervention applied by the teachers in all of our classrooms in our building. This evidence-based practice consists of a set of research-based strategies with origins in behavioral science, neuroscience, and cultural wisdom, and they operate together to improve children's self-regulation. The teachers implement these strategies as part of their daily routines and carrying out tasks such as getting students' attention, selecting students for tasks, transitioning from one task to the next, and working as part of a team, limiting problematic behavior, and reinforcing pro-social behavior. Another part of our program is posigrams. So these we started sending once a week. Each teacher should send one once a week, if not more, this January. And some things the teacher can check off is your child, whatever name and the date. They can check continues to perform well in class, makes a sincere effort and works hard in class, has genuinely improved and is working better in class, has improved in doing homework, behaves consistently well in class and school, has been helpful and caring with fellow students, and then there are three boxes that can be personalized if none of those fit or you need to add more. So these are mailed, and as we said, each teacher sends at least one of these a week home to the student at home. Moving to Safety Patrol, this is a program that involves our sixth grade students, so the leaders of our building, and they are supervised by Miss Amy Nichols. In order for a sixth grader to be on Safety Patrol, they must complete an application and also write a few paragraphs explaining why do they want to be on the Safety Patrol. The teachers also help Miss Nichols evaluate each student who applied, so she picks the best ones for the role. Safety Patrol members must have good grades, demonstrate responsibility, and have a good attitude. They serve as our role models in the hallways and in the school. There are usually 15 to 18 students on the Safety Patrol, and they assure that our students are getting to class in a responsible manner and that the hallway traffic is managed safely. Any issues are reported to me so I can handle the specific students regarding their behavior. I appreciate the extra layer of safety the Safety Patrol provides. We do provide a small appreciation gifts to our Safety Patrol members, such as candy or school supplies, and they are also honored with a certificate and a pizza party as well. Thank you.
Mr. Miller, Mrs. Adams, I just want to again say thank you very much for the report that you've given here this evening on the K-6 building. It is certainly appreciated, and I want to say thank you for your leadership within the building as well. It is evident that good things are happening there, and that starts with your leadership, and we certainly do appreciate it. So well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome Mr. Soderlund to the meeting. All right, so now we'll move to Section H, Superintendent Committee Reports.
Mr. President, thank you. I have three different committees I just want to give a brief update on. The first is our Wellness Committee. The Wellness Committee met on Thursday, January 26th. It was a small but mighty group. So that group met. I wanted to let everybody know that next year, periodically, the food service program has to go through a review by the Ohio Department of Education. We did that a couple of years ago, but next year there will be a review type process that we go through again as well. But the key words there are review type process. The actual review then, the administrative review, will be done during the 24-25 school year. But the activities I think that we engage in next year will kind of prepare us for that. I wanted to let everybody on the board know that the kitchen staff has one person at each end of campus who is trained in serve safe, which is a requirement, so we're pleased about that. And then we have a student nutrition council that is being established, and that is we're going to get a group of kids together to talk about what is being offered at lunch, talk about some different offerings perhaps, and just some things that might interest the students. So we're looking forward to that. The next Wellness Committee meeting will be Wednesday, March 15th at 3:15 p.m. here in the district meeting room. The next committee that I wanted to report out on was the Academic Advisory, or DLT. That meeting was unfortunately canceled due to a snow day. Our next meeting for that group is Monday, March 6th at 3:15 here in the district meeting room. The final group that I wanted to report out on is the policy committee meeting. They met on Wednesday, February 8th. We had some conversation about policies related to book purchases at that meeting, and we will be scheduling another meeting to discuss this further. And so that is all I have for committee reports tonight.
Thank you. We'll move to section I, treasurer's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. I have three items before you this evening. The first one being our January financial statements. Just to highlight a couple items, for the month of January, for all funds in the district, we ended with a balance of $4,618,278.64. And then regarding our monthly report, which is available as part of the agenda as well, just to give you a brief snapshot of where we're at here throughout the year. This is the monthly financial report, and just to highlight this right here, we are current year-to-date revenue collections show it's $788,000 unfavorable, but I believe that's due to the historical analysis of this program looks to the prior year when we would have been receiving advances throughout the month leading up to our final receipt of the property tax that first half year. So we will have the full amount here received here in March, probably the end of February, beginning of March. I think that's why it shows that being unfavorable there, because it's looking at historical data. That's where it comes to that. But the expenditures show that it's a favorable compared to forecast. And then that's a potential net impact of $729,000 additional to the cash balance. So currently that shows us with a cash flow estimate for June 30th of 2023 of $5,932,730, which is $729,000 more than the forecast currently. But I don't think we'll quite get to that actually based on those analytics that it's looking at. But all in all, we are in a healthy financial position for the district, so we'll continue to monitor these receipts and expenditures throughout the year. But right now, we're about 58% throughout the year, and we're doing very well. So. The next item I have before you are the transfer requests. We have two transfer requests here, as soon as it pulls up. If you remember a while back, we received a $25,000 donation to engage in community engagement with the district. We received those funds in a general fund, not knowing exactly how those funds were going to be spent and wanting to have the flexibility to spend those funds as we needed. We ended up appropriating and spending those funds out of the PI fund as part of that community engagement. So this transfer request is essentially just transferring that $25,000 from the fund we received it into, the general fund, to the PI fund, which is where we actually spent the money. So that's that first transfer request there. The next one is the $20,000 FFA farm rent allocation. So that would be a transfer from the general fund to athletics as we've done in previous years. So those are the two transfers. And then we have some amended appropriations before you this evening. And I'll go through a few of what those are, what those amount to. Mr. Eisler's going to speak on a few of these items in his report as well, but I'll just kind of briefly touch on them. We were awarded a $16,500 ARP homeless targeted assistance grant, and I'll let Mr. Eisler speak to what that is exactly and what we're doing with it, but we have to appropriate those funds. So that's there. We also have the four electric buses that Mr. Eisler is going to speak about a little bit as well. The total for that award was $1,580,000. So we have to receipt and then appropriate for those funds also. Good part about that one is we receive the funds in advance, so we don't have to spend the money and then request for reimbursement. Then we also have some master planning in the district. This would build a comprehensive plan for the district site, as well as some analysis of the stadium and the track. So we have a purchase service contract there with an estimate of $35,000 that we've appropriated for. That will be out of the general fund. And then $44,000 for mental health services contract. That is a new service here in the district that would be out of the general fund as well. And then $26,732 for transportation routing software. A large portion of that is one-time cost to set up the system and build the system for us. There is a recurring cost that's less than half of that amount that we'll have every year. And then we have the new service install that we need for the electric buses to operate on the district. And that is a new electric service install cost of approximately $50,000 is what we're looking at there. So there's an increase there. And then the additional cost for the electric buses beyond the rebate amount. So if you remember, we received $1,580,000 for the buses and chargers. But based on our unique specifications here in the district for all of our buses, the diesel buses included, to spec those buses out the way that we have all our other buses, there's some additional cost. So right now, the total over all four buses of that additional cost is $50,116. We did realize the ability to reduce our appropriations. If you remember, we had a while back, we had a request for $50,000 for an SRO vehicle to amend appropriations for. After further conversations with Sheriff Swaney and Madison County Sheriff's Department and reviewing the contract we had with the sheriff, we were able to keep the vehicle that he's loaned us or assigned us to use. So there's no additional cost there. We aren't going to need to purchase one currently on our own, and we don't have to. The sheriff has not told us that we need to purchase a new vehicle through him at this time either. We're going to be able to use the current vehicle. So we're able to reduce our appropriations there by $50,000. And then the final one is a change, a modification to our Madison-Champaign ESC Consortium special education costs. Those are mid-year revisions. They give us estimates to start the year, and then the actual costs come in based on that special education population. So those modifications show an increase of $78,561.40. And those costs are largely out of our control. They're just based solely on student population. So those are all the amended appropriations before you as well. And all of these amendments will go into the five-year forecast update that we'll have here in May. So we'll get a clearer picture of where we are to end the year and then moving forward how that will affect the forecast. Those are the three items I have for you on the consent agenda. That concludes my report.
Okay. Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items I-5 through I-7.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerop?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
So now we'll move to Section J, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a number of discussion items this evening, so I just want to talk a little bit about these for the board's knowledge. We have a bond issue. As you all know, you have passed the resolutions. We have a bond issue on the ballot this May. The purpose of that bond issue is to build new buildings. The buildings come at a projected cost right now of close to $69 million, close enough that we'll round up and just say that's what it is. We are partnering with the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission, also known as the OFCC. They are going to contribute approximately 9% of the cost of the co-funded portion of the project, and that will be, we believe, will be about $5.5 million. The bond issue itself that we are going to take to the voters here this spring is for $63 million. That will cost a homeowner with $100,000 of value, $100,000 worth of value in their home, it will cost them approximately $346 per year or 95 cents per day. The proposed project is to build a K-12 or pre-K through 12 facility on this campus. It will have different areas for different age groups, likely a K-5, 6-8, and 9-12 configuration. So that is the bond issue that we have. Information will be coming out to our community in the coming weeks. Early voting begins in early April, so we will be looking to get information out to our community before that time. I wanted to let the board know that we have a potential donation for a stadium project. The district has been approached by one of the solar companies with an existing and approved solar project within district boundaries about potentially making a significant donation for stadium and track renovations. We are currently engaged in some conversation about this and the potential scope of such a project. I will work to keep the board updated on this. Also related to the stadium, as you may know, or as you do know, there is a ramp that is out of compliance in the current stadium. We have been engaging in conversations with the Office of Civil Rights, also known as OCR. We've been engaging in conversation with an architect, a contractor, and legal counsel, working towards getting this fixed. Weather permitting, we will be working on the project, construction is scheduled on the project beginning this coming week on February 27th.
Mr. Leisler, can I just stop for a second?
Yes.
Question about the stadium donation. Just to be very clear, we're not talking about using any taxpayer dollars. That would
correct.
Whatever would happen. I guess back to the master planning document, you referenced the stadium, but if this donation is happening or not, that's irrelevant. It's like, what are we going to do with the ground that we have if we put new anything anywhere? That's what that planning's for. Right?
That's correct. Whether it's a new building or a stadium or anything for that matter, if we were to put something anywhere on the district site, where would that ideally go? And so there's a lot that goes into that with elevation studies and soil analysis and our, you know, different kinds of things that they come along with that. So
I just think it's important to point out, because when you reference that $340 for per $100,000, obviously people work hard for their money, and we want to be very clear that in no way are we spending district money on a new football stadium or track, even though we do have a desperate need for the track portion of it. We don't host meets or whatever, but that's not where we're putting our focus. We know we need new buildings first and foremost. So I just wanted to be clear on that, that if somebody wants to make a donation, we'll entertain looking into the donation if we believe it's best for our kids, but that we're not discussing district funds related to a new stadium.
Correct.
Is that accurate?
Yes, sir, it is. This is a and it is, we obviously cannot control the timing of these things, but no, the district has been approached by a solar company, and they have approached us and engaged in conversation with us about a significant potential. This is not a done deal, but they have interest in making a potential donation to allow the district to do work on the stadium. With regard to potentially the playing surface and the track. And so it is completely a donation. You are exactly right. There are no district dollars that the taxpayers have agreed to levy that are being discussed for this project. It is purely a donation by a solar company that is being discussed. And again, I want to be clear, there is no formal agreement in plan or in place. This is, at the moment, this is a discussion that is occurring about a possibility. This is not a guarantee.
Any questions? Thank you.
You're welcome. And it is totally unrelated as well to the OCR Stadium Ramp project as well. The district has also been approached about the possibility of putting a monopole cell phone tower on district property. The tower would be potentially around 150 feet tall, give or take approximately 30 feet. The tower could potentially be a revenue stream for the district that would bring in about $563 per month. And over 30 years, that could amount to $200,000 or more. There is potential as well with income growth and things of that nature that number over 30 years could be significantly higher, but at this point that's the conservative estimate. The other benefit, in addition to a modest revenue stream for the district, there is the potential that this could really enhance cell phone reception on campus, which is something that is desperately needed. So that is another benefit. And for those who may be wondering as well, this should not cause any problems with a potential building project either. So that's been discussed.
Yeah, I think this is a good one to discuss too, just to kind of I guess at this point, you're just giving us information, right? There's nothing for us to vote on.
Correct.
But we're talking about that master planning and thinking through what we're going to do with where we put things on district property, with hopefully passing a levy, all those type of things.
Right.
So it just, I think it gives me a little bit of pause, like, do we want to put a cell phone tower somewhere unless we know exactly where we're putting other stuff? So I think we move slowly on this, at least my initial thoughts. I don't know what you guys think. But just open it up to discussion if you want.
It makes sense. We want to be sure where things are going before we put anything up. It makes sense.
That was my immediate thought also, was do we really want to go build a cell phone tower when it might be in the best place to put, say, the football stadium or a K-6 building? It really is something that we would need to look at well in advance to figure out where the best place was.
Was timing discussed for this cell phone tower?
I believe we can move at our pace, whatever we would like. I mean, obviously, we are under no obligation to do this. If we would like to wait, we can wait. We don't have to vote next month. We can wait and see how the master planning goes. And then if we're still interested, we can go back to the company that has approached us about this, and we can have some further conversation at that point.
That's my preference. So we let the master planning play out and see what the options are.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, you guys have highlighted the need for that master planning when opportunities like this come up.
Yeah.
For us to be able to take advantage of them, we need to have a clear plan of where things in the district are projected to go.
Correct. That is correct.
Okay. The next item that I have is, as Mr. Mustine has alluded to and we've spoken about in previous board meetings, the district has been awarded a grant for 4 electric buses. Essentially, the state is giving us the equivalent of the cost of 4 buses and 2 charging stations. Each charging station will be able to charge 2 buses simultaneously. There is an upfront cost to install the electric service of approximately $50,000. This grant essentially covers the cost of 4 buses, with the exception of some items that are on the spec sheet for all MP buses that we bring in and the electric install. The buses need to remain in service for 5 years. Based upon the information we have been given and the research we have done, it appears that the electric buses are going to operate at and likely below the current operating costs for a diesel bus. If we sell them after 5 years, the proceeds for those buses can't be utilized for any use. So again, we have been working pretty diligently to keep update our fleet. We've had an old aging fleet that has caused us some problems. This grant came along, and we were awarded the funds for 4 buses and 2 charging stations. So this is a bit of a windfall. I know that there is some concern about electric vehicles. But this is an opportunity for us to really make some headway on our bus acquisitions and update our fleet. And it's an opportunity that we have looked into. I think it's a wise move for us as a district. And I think we need to move forward with it. So any conversation? As Mr. Mustine reported in his treasurer's report, we did apply for and were awarded a $16,500 ARP, that's American Rescue Plan, Homeless Targeted Assistance Grant. We are utilizing these funds to establish a room at the 712 building where students who are homeless or at risk of being homeless will be able to get clothes cleaned and also get hygiene supplies. So we think this is something that's important for us, and we're grateful for the grant. Also on the agenda this evening, there is an item with Ohio Guidestone for Behavioral Health Services. That is another way of talking about mental health services. This is something that is very much needed in the district. We've been working on this for several months and trying to find the best model. There have been a lot of concerns because these models often deal with insurance and Medicare and Medicaid. And so there is an awful lot of red tape that can be involved, and so we have been working to try to negotiate that, figure those things out. But we are pleased to be able to put this agreement on the agenda tonight. With this agreement, there is going to be a counselor on site 3 days per week to work to assist our students and help them, and where necessary, work to connect them with further support. So this is something that we believe is important. The next item that I have for discussion are simply academic calendars. We are in discussions on that for next year. I look to have a calendar before the board at the next meeting in March for your approval. And then finally, the TOLS report. TOLS is currently accepting applications for their programs from students in its 7 associate districts. In addition to that, the one thing that I wanted to point out, they are going to host a dinner on Wednesday, April 26th at 6:00 p.m. Board members, superintendents, and treasurers are all invited to attend. In fact, TOLS would appreciate it if we did, and we are all welcome to bring spouses or significant others with us as well. If you would like to bring your spouse or a significant other, you can do that. The dinner will focus on raising awareness and educating board members, superintendents, and treasurers on the programs that they have at TOLS. I know they did this program last year. It was well received. They're asking for us to spread the word about that. So if you're available to attend, let me know, and I will work to get the number of RSVPs to TOLS for that dinner. So, Mr. President, with that piece of information concluded, that includes my discussion items for this evening. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to entertain those.
Thank you. Now we'll move to Section K, Policy and Governance.
Mr. President, one item before the board there this evening, and that is the registration guide or the course description guide for MPHS for academic year 2023-2024.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance item K2.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonegrock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Gensel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Next, we'll move to Section L, Business.
And Mr. President, a number of business items there for you this evening, the first of which is an overnight trip for the Madison Plains Band to Cedar Point in May of this year. There is a performance opportunity for them with this trip. There is also an agreement with Tyler Technologies for Traversa transportation routing software. That package, as Mr. Mustine indicated, comes at a cost, and most of this is, or a lot of this is upfront cost to get us up and running, by $26,732. There is also the Ohio Guidestones School-Based Behavioral Health Program, which I have spoken about already. That comes at a cost of $44,000. There is an item here for membership in the OHSAA, the Ohio High School Athletic Association, for the 23-24 school year. And then our appointment of a representative to the TOLS board. And as we had indicated, that appointee is Mrs. Zanikas, and she will begin her term on February 22nd, 2023. And that term expires, and TOLS has requested, normally that term would run through December 31st of 2024. They have requested that we honor that rotation so that they do not have a situation where they have an abundance of board members going off the board at one time. They had that a number of years ago just due to the way things have occurred, and they worked to fix that, and so they are requesting that we honor that. So Mrs. Anikas will fill that spot. And that is what I have for business this evening.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items L2 through L6.
Mr. Stoner, I think we're on business.
Well, that was L, wasn't it?
Well, I thought you said personnel items, I just wanted to be clear we were doing business, but yes, it is L.
Yeah, it's L.
Yep, it's L.
Yes.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stenrock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchel?
Yes.
Mr. Gensel?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Now I'm going to section M, personnel.
My mistake, Chad.
That is okay, Mr. Stenrock. No worries. I knew you were absolutely right. You had said L. I just wanted to make sure that for the record, we were voting on personnel. Or excuse
on business.
Me, on business. Jeez, now I'm doing it. We are now at personnel, though. And so a few routine items there. We have the approval of a tutor. We have a couple of resignations, unfortunately. We want to thank Mr. Daniels and Ms. Brown for their dedicated service to the district. We have the employment there of a maintenance person, and then we have on the agenda some supplemental contracts as well that we are looking to award.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items M2 through M6.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stenrock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchel?
Yes.
Mr. Gensel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Any items for section N donations?
No, sir.
All right, so now I'll move to section O, new business. Section P, public communication, the second session. Does anybody sign up? All right. Any need for an executive session?
No, sir.
No executive session tonight. Our next meeting will be here at the district meeting room on March 21st at 7 p.m. A motion to adjourn.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the board adjourn at 7:56 p.m.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stenrock?
Yes.
Mr. Gensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We're adjourned.